Blog Talk Radio.
We crank it up, we get loud, throwing down in the dirty, dirty. this mason job one time. Burns you a little bit, didn't it? You ever been snap on? Come on. Do a little frog kicking, cow tipping. How about a little skinny dipping, bass fishing? Take it easy on the shine. Stay away from other boys, women. That's one damn good way for a man to get it rough down. These boys stuff down here. Get your ass so rough down here. And we get all night on the hippies and the heads. Josh some bikers, they don't care. I'm tired of them bum wild. Girls and rows, if it don't, you come broke. So we hang out by them bonfires. Just some good old boys having a dang good time. We crank it up, we get loud. We're throwing down in a dirty, dirty spout down here. We get all night on the hippies and the heads. Josh some bikers.
You are listening to
Fort Worth Paranormals.
Ghost Hunting.
Ghost Hunting.
Texas style.
Bringing you the best in paranormal radio.
All right, folks. How's it going? This is Ghost Hunting Texas style with your host, Justin Eric. My buddy Kevin Bryan is actually out tonight. He's actually going out, and I was going to do a shout-out for him. And he's actually out tonight with his job. And they're actually out doing a charity dinner tonight. Granted, it's part of the holidays. You know, it's getting close, Christmas and all that good stuff. And with his work and stuff like that, they want to kind of get back as well. Speaking of give back, one thing that Fort Worth Paranormal is involved in is an operation, I guess you could say. You can take it, a little bit from a military term, but Operation Give Back. It's basically where, we're trying to reach out and help donate for the homeless out there. There's a lot of people out there that, especially the homeless folks that either no longer have a family anymore, maybe lost their family to something tragic, and they just ended up on the streets, just a stroke of bad luck. And so we're just trying to do our best to try to give back to the community, and especially for those that are less than fortunate. And so we just want to throw that out there. But, Kevin's out there doing some good things right now on location with his work, doing a charity dinner and helping, his job to raise money for some less fortunate folks out there. I'm not exactly sure which charity it's going towards, but it had some hot cocoa and burned my tongue a little bit. But anyways, needless to say, it's definitely a good thing that for him doing that. We're going to kind of go over some random stuff this first hour, just kind of go through, talk about some recent events and stuff like that. The other thing too that we're gonna talk about, and this is going into the second hour of the show, right about 9 o'clock, we're gonna have Kevin Weddle, the founder of Unknown Paranormal, on. He's gonna join me, and we're gonna kind of talk about some random stuff. It could be farting, it could be whatever the case may be. You just never know. So it's gonna be good stuff, and then we're gonna go on our Chaos Hour. And as everybody knows, for those folks that've listened to us before, if you have not listened to us before, rather. Chaos is the last half hour of the show where we just get rowdy. We get rowdy, we get crazy, we just have a damn good time, needless to say. So we'd like to invite you and come and join us. For those folks that are just now tuning in, if you aren't in the chat room, please, we'd love to invite you to the chat room. Come and mingle with us. Come and talk with us. If you want to, throw out some 2 cents about how your week went, how your day went, or how your week's going, rather. But man, thank goodness it's Friday tomorrow, right? I mean, this weekend is definitely well-deserved, and we were just definitely waiting for this thing to come on. For those folks that are in the chat room, if you log in as a guest, please log in. You can actually log in via your Facebook, and you'll be able to actually get into the chat, and interact and mingle with some of us in there. But other than that, you know, just kind of going through, it's kind of funny. And credit going to my buddy Phil Summers out there. We were actually on Facebook a little while ago, and we were talking, and he brought up a good point. And it's kind of funny, and it kind of goes like this. You know, the question that he had, now I'll read it verbatim from his page. It says, you know how there's like Gangland and all these different gang-type shows. You know how the paranormal field has events and at conventions for the paranormal investigators who've been on TV? Well, he wonders if gangs have a gang convention for famous gangs who've been on TV. You know what I'm saying? So, like, let's see here, Latin Kings back in the day. I wonder. And we were just throwing out some random shit out there. It's craziness, but it was hilarious. And we're just sitting there, just going back and forth, talking all gangster, you know, and stuff like that. So, it's pretty cool, and it was funny too. But we shall continue that conversation, Phil. What else? You know, yesterday, check this out. Last night, I'm on the internet and everything, and then I'm seeing posts on Facebook from some folks, you know, in Texas and stuff like that. And they're like, hey, you know, North Texas just had a little bit of an earthquake. And I'm sitting here and I'm like, holy crap, really? So I go and find out where this earthquake was, and come to find out it's actually in Burleson, Texas. Well, guess who lives in Burleson, Texas? Yep. Good old Kevin Bryan. Yep. So I called his ass up and I was like, dude, Kevin, did you feel that? And he's like, what are you talking about? I was like, they said there was a little earthquake. It was probably about 2.5 or 2.7 on the Richter scale. He's like, no, I don't know if I didn't feel it. So I'd assume he's either, you know, in bed or doing something in bed or, yeah, you never know. So he probably missed the shift there. But it's all good. But hey, we'd love to hear from you later on tonight. And just kind of go, yeah, and it is. You know, in Texas, especially North Texas and different, I mean, not just Texas alone. I mean, it's all over the place. And you know, you have a lot of fracking, definitely. But what's crazy, though, is that, believe it or not, Texas has had a long history of smaller earthquakes, especially in the central area close to Austin. And granted, you know, it's probably because of the fracking stuff. It's craziness. But just a carryover from Cleburne. Yeah, absolutely. It's kind of crazy. I also remember before I moved from Arlington, it was probably a couple months before that, there was one that actually, they said it was like 3.1 or something like that. It was actually in Irving, Texas. That was in August or September, I believe, if I'm not mistaken. But it's just one of those things. I've never really been, in like a major earthquake or anything like that. Now, I don't know. Is that equivalent to saying, you know, somebody saying, well, I've never been in a small tornado. I don't know if the extremes are different. I don't know if it's the same. But, I mean, you know, regardless, they are natural disasters, but I don't really think that a two-point whatever is going to do much damage unless you have structures that are just weak as hell. So who knows? So it's going to be crazy. Now, another thing, too, that I want to throw out there, too, fracking filled that fracking earthquake, just fracking now, mother fracker. Oh, man, kudos to Phil. Good old Phil Summers. But, fracking A, Phil, absolutely. So, there's another one. Let's see here. Let me go to some more recent events. Kind of go from there. Let's see here. As I'm trying to bebop. All right, let's see here. One, okay. There is, hold on. All right, so I think back to the time. Anybody remember, like when they were a kid, did they ever do like the Elf on the Shelf thing? You know, when it comes to, like, the holidays and Christmas and stuff like that, did their mom or grandma or aunt or anybody do the Elf on the Shelf? Come on. If you're listening, come into that chat room and, you know, answer in. Nope. Well, see, that's the thing. I've never had it before, and I've often wondered if this was something that's just recently new. You know, like, Are they trying, you know, is this like, is the elf on the shelf thing the new clown of this generation? You know how people are afraid of clowns and scared of clowns and stuff like that? Is it the clown of this generation, of this younger generation? So like 20 years later, they're going to be like, oh, I'm scared of elves. I don't know. But I don't know. I just forget the new name for Christmas. Elf on the shelf, new clown. So, oh, that's the other thing. Okay, for these folks that are listening, I've been looking online, but if you have, and this is really cool because I'm really, really trying to work out this. Does anybody know out there where to go to an actual ventriloquist puppet, like, place where you can actually buy one? And I'm not talking about the little old cheapo ones with the pull string, like, you know, that looks like freaking Woody on Toy Story. I'm, you know, like an actual really cool ventriloquist puppet. And I understand that there's some folks out there that can actually make them custom for you, but also know that there's some folks that actually make them custom and then they can sign it to, you know, certain shops and stuff like that to sell. So I'm trying to figure out who you guys may know to be able to do that, because I'm trying to work on something, and it's something that I've had an idea about the last 2 years, 2 to 3 years, and I talked to Scott Greenwald about it, and I think it's going to be, like, absolutely freaking perfect to have a Scott Greenwald ventriloquist puppet on the show with him. So I want to try to see if I can't get one made somehow. Let's see here. Not anymore. Used to be a puppet in the store at the Richmond Mall. So, yeah, I'm literally trying. And even, you know, whether it be in Texas or even Arkansas, just anywhere in the country, I'm just trying to figure out who I can contact and kind of go from there. But I want to make a ventriloquist that looks just like Scott. Because imagine Scott on the stew, you know, talking and everything, and the next thing you know, you see this little head pop up behind the desk. It looks just like Scott, and he's looking both ways, and he finally ends up in, you know, sitting in Scott's lap. And they're, like, looking at each other and talking shit in front of each other, you know, and I think it would be hilarious. So it's pretty cool. Now, one second. I am trying to figure out one thing. Okay. This is another subject, and oh, my goodness. I have a hard time grasping this, okay? And this is going back to the paranormal stuff, okay? Told you, this is going to be a random show. I'm bouncing like a little kid on, you know, ADD medication or off of the ADD medication. So I have seen this more and more and more. And granted, again, I'm not a professional. I will claim that right freaking now. I am not a professional. I am not an absolute expert in this field at all. Or anything like that, okay? I will admit that, because you know what? I'm man enough to admit that. I sure am, and I'm not afraid to admit that. Now, the one thing that just really kind of baffles me, now, granted, I may not have looked into the science of it all. I may be overlooking, you know, certain things here and there, but I am seeing a lot of folks, and I see it on Facebook, you know, folks that are just now starting a team, and the thing is that you have these folks that go ghost hunting or, quote, paranormal investigating, I guess, for a better term, with nothing but a cell phone app and a flashlight. Now, I understand these people are, oh, yeah, there's a ghost. You know, they have the ovulus on there. They have, you know, this and that. They have the ghost radar and all this. It, you know, to me, it's just crap. And I cannot understand. I don't know. Maybe they do it for the rush. Maybe it's folks that are just thrill seekers. I don't know. But it's crazy. Why in the heck are you just going to go in there? Oh, yeah, I saw some evidence. I took pictures of my phone with these little dots on it on this little radar. And really? Really? Okay, so you mean to tell me that I could probably go in and, I don't know, wave, blow bubbles out there and say, you know, wait for it to explode and say a ghost popped it. Really? There is. And Anton, you're right. There is a lot of false information out there. Now, this is the other thing, too. I believe that this day and age has become so digitized when it comes to this field, as it becomes so digitized to the point to where a lot of people lose touch of the common sense of certain things. And what I mean by that is people become more materialistic of certain things. Now, I understand all awesome things, Anton, for that website. This is the other thing that I'm, you know, thinking. Okay, a lot of people become more materialistic, and they're like, oh, well, I need to have this certain type of equipment, you know, or certain types of things here and there, you know, so I can be legit. Well, I'm sorry, but this top-notch equipment and all this other stuff doesn't make you legit. I understand it's you know, you're trying to pierce the darkness in terms of innovation. I can see that, and I'll give you credit for that. But when you get somebody out there, well, I want the latest and greatest, you know, DVR set. I want the latest and greatest K2 meter. I want the latest and greatest MEL meter. I want the latest and greatest, you know, tri-field meter. Why? What's the point? Get something simple, start small, and then just, you know, and then, keep, you know, if you get, you start getting something, you start validating certain things, then go for it. Yeah, latest and greatest DVR set is an oxymoron. It absolutely is. Because, how do you say it? Okay. See, I'm not going to be blunt just yet until chaos, because that's when we get crazy. So I'm just gonna hold my tongue on that one real quick. But I don't know. All I gotta say is it really baffles me. So it is really, really. Hey, what's up, Jennifer? I see you in the chat room, waving back. How's everything going? Thanks for tuning in. And real quick, folks, those folks that have tuned in that are in the chat room or listening from elsewhere, thank you so much for tuning in. This is Ghost Hunting Texas Style. This is your host, Justin Eric. Again, my other host, co-host, Kevin Bryan, is actually out at a charity dinner with his work, doing some good things for the community and helping to raise money for less fortunate folks out there, especially during the holiday season. we were just talking about just craziness, you know, randomness and stuff like that. I even talked about, you know, finding a good ventriloquist store and stuff like that, because I'm still, you know, trying to find the perfect ventriloquist puppet that looks like Scott Grunewald, or one that I can get that I can actually transform into a Scott Grunewald ventriloquist puppet. Because I think that would be hilarious, man. Just imagine being able to come on the show and bring that little guy, you know, on there, and he's like totally mimicking Scott, stuff like that. The other thing, other thing that we'll do is, I'm trying to think here. That we had mentioned too was one thing that Phil had mentioned, and that's, you know, he posted this on Facebook earlier today, and I thought it was hilarious, so I had to chime in on it, man, because it was just, I don't know, I had to go gangster on it, and Phil came gangster right back. But he had posted in there in regard to, you know, people go to conventions and stuff like that, or paranormal or whatever. You know, he wonders if gangs have gang-like conventions for famous gangs who've been on TV and stuff like that. So we were just kind of going crazy out there. But other than that, you know, then we're just kind of going on towards how some people, you know, they go out there and they have, this high-dollar equipment and stuff like that, and trying to justify them being crazy legit or absolutely super investigator or whatever the case may be. Okay. Now, I will give folks, trust me, and don't get me wrong, I will give folks kudos. And this doesn't come from me. You don't need my praise to whatever the case may be. I'm just saying this is just perception on my end. Okay. My own opinion. Excuse me. If you go out there and you know you're doing it right with the right integrity, and you know you're documenting certain things, and you know you're actually there to do. Excuse me. I guess I got the possessed by a cough ghost or something like that. No, but you hear that? Speaking of which, we had this one girl that was on my old team. She was, we were doing an EVP session, and she sounded just like Grover. And it was like, like Grover just ate the best cookie in the world. It's like, and I thought that was freaking crazy. So yes, Phil, if you do want to call in, the number's 323-580-5703. I know you want to come on and go from there. So, yeah, it's going to be cool. The other thing, too, and like just like I mentioned, it was kind of funny because I remember listening, going back and listening to this audio. And as I'm listening to this audio, it's like every 2 to 3 minutes. And Brooke even heard this, my wife. And she kept hearing this, and it was just, it just totally blew me away. And every like I said, every 2 to 3 minutes, you'd hear, and I'm like, are you serious? So, I mean, it's like, oh, did I get to, oh, no, never mind, it's Grover. Oh, did I get, oh, nope, never mind, it's Grover again. So it was funny. But yeah, Kick-Ass K2 meter is cool, too. You know, I think, a K2 has its ups and downs, certain ways that you can actually try to implement it in certain aspects, but you also have to be able to try to validate, see if, okay, well, I would see for what I would like to do, Mr. Phil Summers, I know you're in the room. What I would like to do is I would like to get not just one, but I would get two, maybe not even two, but three times the confirmation and see if they all get the hit at the same time, in that given area. I'll put one in, butt it up with the other end, butt it up with the other end, maybe make a little trifecta type thing. So what do you think, Phil Summers?
I've tried that method before. I've had as many as up to about 6 ghost boxes running at the same time. It really doesn't do anything but get more annoying.
Man, if you use like 6 or 7 ghost boxes in conjunction with each other, man, I would probably fade away just like a TV screen.
Yeah, I would fade away like an atheist at a Southern Baptist church. How about that?
Start running, brother. Holy crap. But, yeah, man, I mean, but see, just like I was talking about earlier, Phil, I mean, it just baffles me. And I'm seeing this more and more. And this is the thing. I understand that from like, say, 2005 to 2007, 2008 time frame, there was an explosion of all these people wanting to become paranormal investigators. Now, granted,
right.
I'm not going to question whether certain people have been in the field for a number of years or whatever the case may be. I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to judge. But it baffles me how you get these folks, bro, that they come in here and they're like, oh, yeah, I got the cell phone app, and now I'm an investigator, and I want to start a team because I think I got something on a phone. Really?
Yeah. There's somebody like that in my town here. I'm not going to begin to tell you who it is or anything. But yeah, they're around here. That it happens. But you know what? If they really want to be a paranormal investigator, they'll learn and they'll figure it out. They'll learn.
Yeah. True.
No, there's people like us. I have no idea how long you've been in the field, Justin. How long would you say you've been a paranormal investigator?
As an actual active investigator, to be honest with you, since 2004.
You were out during the MySpace days.
Yeah, it was out there during the MySpace days.
Now,
in terms of research, I'm sorry?
Now, you could actually tell how long these people have been in the field. According to a, I have actually made a list of actions how you could tell how long people have been in the field.
Nice.
Foolproof. Foolproof.
I guess you could call it para-investigator carbon dating.
Exactly. Exactly. That's exactly what it is. But it's like almost stereotyping in a mix as well.
Nice.
But my method is, you know, there's different styles and ways of how people actually act that have been in the field 2 years or the regular time frame that people say that they've been in is always 10 years. They always say 10 years. Have you noticed that?
Yeah, that's true. That is true.
It's always that 6 to 10 years range. But if you notice, there's always, when people start to get into the social networking scene of the paranormal field, there's always the ones who talk about haters a lot. Have you noticed that?
I've noticed that a lot, bro. I really have.
They talk about haters. They always, you know, that's their main subject of content. And I've narrowed those people that actually talk about haters a lot. And I've had some conversations with these people as well. And I could definitely tell you that, you know, they do say that they've been in the field long, for a while. And they always say the regular 6 to 10 years, just like I said. But they always talk about haters. That's one thing. There's another thing when people question your evidence.
Right.
You know how people like to, immediately get into defensive mode whenever you start to question their
bring up a good point, Phil, because the one thing that I've seen a lot of, bro, is, you know, granted, you see, I know you keep a very close eye on the goings-on here lately. I know you have, after, you know, recent conversations you and I have had in the past. And the thing is that you get some of these folks out there that, you know, they say they just start a team or whatever the case may be, right? And they offer their 2 cents on somebody's evidence. Yet when they even when they invite and say, hey, what do you guys think? And the first person that says, to be honest with you, I believe it's this. And the next thing you know, the person that makes that comment ends up getting ripped by the person who posted and said, what do you think?
Mhm. Yeah,
I'm seeing that
a
lot too, bro.
See, yeah. That's definitely out there, and that's why I actually stopped posting my evidence out. Because what do I have to prove to anybody? You know, honestly, I'm in the field for myself. I'm out here to have an understanding of the paranormal for my own self. I don't really go out and try to gather up the most evidence to post out on Facebook or something like that, and then try to get on my ghost story for it. You know, that's not my although I have been on a show, that's not my that is not my main mission in life. But I mean, it's something that you see in a lot of these investigators, and it's something that I've picked up over the years. That's why when somebody asks me, I always play the devil's advocate. I would say, yeah, I kind of see what you're going for. I kind of see how you can see that this is what you're seeing. But somebody else who opposes what this could be, it could also be this. you know, I always give a devil's advocate side, and I give. But, I mean, other than that, I never really post any of my evidence out on the Internet anymore. Not anymore, at least.
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, it's disheartening, too, man, because it's like, I remember, and this is the other thing, and I'm probably sure you probably have noticed this, too, and it's maybe something on your list as well, speaking of your list. I remember the very first time I investigated, and the thing is, the very first time I thought I had some really good, you know, findings.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, you know, back in the day, you know, back when MySpace was getting popular and all this other stuff, you know, you could not wait.
And you had Tom
there
on your first friend.
Yeah.
Yeah,
well,
yeah, Tom
was that first friend.
Tom,
yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. He was always up there on the first friend. Their first row, the first friend.
I mean, but the dude never talked back or did anything. I mean, that's just like, you know, it's just like Tom Hanks having Wilson on that movie. What the heck? What was it? Wilson, you know, the ball. Damn it! What's the name of that movie? I'm drawing a blank. Castaway.
Yeah.
Is that what it was?
Yeah. I got another. I should make like a date, like a film. You know how David Letterman has the top 10 things that you know, he does? Well, I should make my top 10 list of things that new paranormal investigators do. I also have a list of, if somebody wants to come in the field, there's 4 qualifications of the perfect, well-rounded paranormal investigator. I have a list for that, too. I think you've heard it before by a list of the perfect, well-rounded paranormal investigator.
The perfect, well, I don't know. Is it
well-rounded paranormal investigator? Number one, they have to be an insomniac. An insomniac is the most. Because, you know, we're normally doing this stuff at night, and I see people falling out after, like, 12 o'clock, 1 o'clock in the morning. I've seen that so many times on investigations. Number two, with insomnia comes attention deficit disorder. So you have to have ADD. That's part of it. And it makes the investigation entertaining, which allows the investigation to go along a lot longer and more entertaining. All right. Number three, you have to be a complete all-around freak. And by the word freak, I mean every aspect of the word freak. Number four, you have to be accepted of the fact that you're all four of those, or all three of those qualifications.
Whew. Man, that's craziness. Hey, real quick, Phil, Anton asked a question in the chat. He said, so how does one claim a level of expertise if they aren't validated as in terms of proof of their ability? Now, this is the one thing, Anton, that I've always stuck to and I still stick to. I know Kevin definitely does, is that I firmly believe there's not a such thing as an expert in this field at all. The reason we say that is because this is a field that there's a lot of different calculations, there's a lot of different things, a lot of different theories that are being tested, so on and so forth. It's not an exact science. So we cannot control what happens and what doesn't happen. There's no way we can. But the thing is that's the one thing we're working towards. That's the one thing we're trying to do. But are we going to try to say that, oh, I'm an expert in this? No. But I can tell you one thing. The one thing you can be an expert at is your attitude in the field, how you're able to help advance not just what you learn, but how others learn it with you. You get my drift?
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. I see where you're coming from. But what if this is an exact science? What if it is an exact science, Justin? What if we are looking the wrong places? What if we are doing it the wrong way?
Now, if it became an exact science and we were able to really hone in on how to control certain aspects, like, for example, anybody and everybody knows that if you put your hand over a flashlight, the light's going to disappear, okay? You can control that. But the thing is that, okay, if you see an object, now, granted, a lot of this is going to be subject to a lot of criticism. Everybody knows that. You know that, Phil.
Yeah.
Now the thing is that when it comes to how you can control something, now, it could be maybe we're doing it the wrong way, you know. Do you click your heels three times and then, you know, become an astral projected object, you know? Like Dorothy. There's so many different ideas, but the thing is that you just never know. You see what I'm saying? Because, for example, okay, when fire first became, you know, came in, you know, and I guess when caveman or Neanderthal or whoever it was able to create fire, it happened spontaneously, and they're like, oh, whoa, what was that? You know,
it was an accident.
Now for us, it was by accident. So I can pretty much, I don't want to say guarantee, because I would be very wrong to say that, but I could almost believe that whatever holy grail of the paranormal there is, that'll be stumbled upon by accident somehow.
What if the holy grail of paranormal evidence has already been stumbled upon? What, I mean, I'm pretty sure it's already out there. I'm pretty sure it is. But the thing about it is, it's trying to get the people to believe it is what it is.
Now, see, that's where some of the discord is, brother. And the reason I say that is because if you have somebody that's so wrapped up in materialistic things, they will never open, not to say never, but they'll have a very, very hard time opening up to things that are beyond the material things.
You know
what?
Antoine has a perfect point in the chat room. He says it depends on your reason and being in the field. Exactly. There's different reasons for people being in the paranormal field. My reason for being in the field at first was because I was curious. That's what happens. You stumble upon something and you want to learn more about it. And that's what happened with me. I was curious and I decided to start investigating. But when I got into it more, I kind of started realizing that there's something more to this, and then there's maybe it isn't, the paranormal isn't as paranormal as we think it is. Maybe it's just regular, mundane, scientific stuff that happens every day.
The other question that I should pose, too, in regards to, you know, random thinking and wondering as well, just like you, is it just the fact that human beings just lost touch with what they already had before? You know what I'm saying?
Exactly, because there was a point. I mean, I don't know what if Plato was smoking any drugs or not, but when he wrote The Atlantis, when he wrote about Atlantis, I mean, it seemed like we were out. There was a highly intelligent civilization here on Earth. If that being the case, maybe we have lost touch of what we actually can accomplish with our mind. Because think about it, we only use 10% of our brain, correct? What if we were able to use, what if there are some people out there that use a bit more than that 10% of their brain? You know, like psychics, intuitives, all that stuff. Then, you know, maybe get, now we're kind of going off topic here. But
well, I mean, you have a point because, I mean, the thing is that the brain can be a very powerful tool, you know, in terms of telepathy, you know, and what have you. But at the same time, you got some, you know, you have somebody with, you know, that they may have a gift of telepathy or whatever the case may be, and they're able to tap into something that's beyond this parallel, you know, or beyond this physical universe or this physical, you know, plane that we're in, so to speak, I guess you could say.
I got a question for you, Justin. What is real to you? What define reality?
It's hard to say, because I don't think I would say that in man's raw term of reality is what's happening in front of you, what's happening now. That would be man's definition.
So basically,
my definition though would.
Go ahead.
I was going to say that my definition and my answer to that question would be, to be honest with you, I don't know.
Now, the technical definition for real is what you can see, what you can touch, what you can smell, what you can hear, all your five senses. Okay, that's basically the definition of real. If that being the case, the real is nothing more than just simply electrical impulses sent to your brain, correct?
Okay, I'm following.
All right, so what if this real that we're seeing is subjective? What if this real that we are seeing is actually manipulated by our brains?
Let's blame Hollywood. How about that?
Now, where I'm going with this is, what if we could actually create this paranormal environment that we are experiencing whenever we're on these investigations? What if it really is real? What if all these instances of paranormal evidence that we capture are nothing more than just our cognitive thought, and enhancing the environment to be able to actually make stuff happen?
Possibility. I mean, it's, man, it's like I'm trying to, you know, my thought process, man, it just gets so deep sometimes, man, that I even get lost in my own thoughts. Because, I mean, because it's true. I mean, if you think about it, man, because this is some deep stuff, man. It's just one of those things to where, you know, this what if leads to this what if to possibly this, but then what if this, but then, you know, there is a lot of what ifs. So, again, it's just like going back to the exact science of things when we were talking about, you know, well, what if this was an exact science? You know, there's going to be a lot of what ifs, but what changes that? You know what I'm saying? And I guess that's where you then, you know, once, you know, and then again, you know, kind of backtracking one more time, you kind of wonder, okay, well, these people that are starting out, you know, again, I can only offer, you know, just advice as to, you know, what they could do in terms of not how to investigate or anything like that, but just an, you know, have a mindset of integrity, you know, a mindset of just, you know, seeking what you want to find, but at the same time trying not to manipulate yourself in the mix. Try
and
not to get, you know,
up,
like.
And if you mess up, try not to dig yourself a bigger hole by messing up anymore.
Well, yeah, exactly. Well, just like, for example, you say you have somebody come up to you, and they're a very real person, but yet the one thing that's got them in this field was the death of a family member, and say it was their mom or their dad.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, well, you know, I feel that my dad's with me all the time and this and that, and I just want to go find him, and And if I do this, maybe it could be my dad that follows me here. I mean, who knows? I mean, I do believe that there's spirit guides or angels or whatever the case may be. I do, for me, in my opinion, I believe that. But at the same time, you know, it's like, it's hard to give somebody, you know, that's brand new, that type, you know, of advice to where, well, it may not be your dad or your mom. Because then you're actually digging yourself, just like you said, digging yourself a hole, because then now you're actually discouraging somebody. You know, and that's the last thing you want to do.
You know, what you're actually searching for. What it's a narrow reason for being in the field, which is, you know, biasing your opinions on everything. You know? I mean, when you put religion, when you put the angelic aspect, when you put the spiritual aspect of everything, which is mostly religion, all right, whether you shake a stick at it, hate it or not, it's what it is, you know? And if you come in the field with that aspect, you're going to have a biased opinion on the paranormal.
Right.
So that's, you know, like I say, I mean, I can't say anything either because I do have a biased opinion on what the paranormal is, but the paranormal and the supernatural are two totally different topics and two totally different levels of activity. You see what I'm saying?
Right, right. I know what you're getting to.
So the paranormal may be as understandable as you know, we you know, the paranormal can be as understandable as we think it can be. But I don't think the supernatural is anything that we can explain.
Right. I've heard the term, you know, and this is more along the lines of what you're talking about. You know, I've heard somebody with, you know, and hopefully I don't misquote this. They said, you know, and they're in their I guess, well, there's a book that I had read. Golly, man, it was, I want to say it was probably back in 2001 time frame. And they had brought up the subject of the paranormal, and they had also brought up the subject of supernatural. And they mentioned, you know, whereas the paranormal is something beyond our ability to understand, beyond our normal thought, you know, frame of mind, I guess, so to speak, in terms of anything that could be physical, metaphysical, or whatever, you name it. Whereas he mentioned that the supernatural, in other words, is a manifestation of in that, how do you say it, more of a manifestation of the power beyond what we can understand. A power that's beyond, you know, and it kind of rings true because, I mean, for me, I've always understood that the supernatural and the paranormal were not one and the same. It was two completely different anomalies, you know, in terms of its nature.
If you want to get natural and you want to look at the physical aspects of it, supernatural. All right, what is one thing in the universe that we cannot do? But it's something that is totally impossible in this universe, in this dimension, in this realm.
Let's see, be Superman and fly, I guess.
Well, I mean, astral projection, people fly. I mean, that's fully, I guess, it could happen. But, I mean, people fly in planes all the time, so, I mean, it's possible for people to fly. But what I'm getting at is physical laws of science that cannot be broken. It is universal law.
Okay.
All right. One thing is we cannot travel faster than the speed of light. Light being 186,000 miles per second, we cannot travel faster than that speed. But when we see things that these objects that blink in, that blink out at the speed of light, or faster than the speed of light, that's how they travel. UFOs, for example, that is a supernatural ability for something to travel faster than the speed of light. That's supernatural.
I'm following.
So I actually just lost my point where I was going with that, because I was thinking to myself, I never even thought about that. And I was like, I started thinking to myself, hey, you ever do that, dude?
You talking about brain farts?
Yeah, brain farts. You're thinking to yourself so deep, and you're talking to yourself about something so profound, and then you start thinking to yourself, hey, I can't believe that came out of my
brain. I know what it is. I know what it is, Phil. Now, before I hit a brain fart, I think I know what it is. I think what it is that you reach the 2% barrier of your brain.
Oh, man.
Oh, fun stuff. Well, hey, guys. Phil, man, I really appreciate you calling in, brother. We're getting ready to go to our mid-break. We're going to play a song, and we're going to have Mr. Kevin Weddle from Unknown Paranormal calling in. And stuff, but dude,
right.
Man, you're welcome back on the show anytime, man. Thanks for calling in, and dude, man, you're great people, man. You know, you're doing good things out there, and hey, you know, whether you like it or not, man, you're good people, okay? And
at least I'm good at pretending that I'm good people.
Oh, man.
You got my phone number, right?
I do.
Yeah, call me anytime, dude.
All right, sounds good, brother. You take care of yourself, man.
All right, later.
All right. We had old Mr. Phil Summers there called in, you know, kind of going over some things. We're going to kind of – we got about 5 minutes until the halfway point for the show, and we're going to get ready to go on from there. At this point in time, stand by 1 second. We're going to go ahead and play a quick song. So if you want to go use the restroom, if you want to take a little bit of a break, you know, kind of get yourself back going, we're going to have Mr. Kevin Weddle coming in, calling in here in a little bit, founder of Unknown Paranormal, and the guy that runs Unknown Paranormal Radio, which we want to extend our thanks, you know, for giving us this opportunity to be able to run Ghost Hunting Texas style on Unknown Paranormal Radio, on the Unknown Radio Network as well. So, again, we're going to have Mr. Kevin Weddle on. So don't go anywhere, folks. And, folks, if you're listening in, you're not in the chat room, guess what? You are wrong. Come on in and mingle with us, okay? So we're going to go ahead and play a real quick song. Let's see here. What am I going to play for you guys this time? That'd be a good one. So, stand by 1 second. Oh, what the hey? Let's go ahead and go with a little kill switch engage. Stand by.
You are listening to
Fort Worth Paranormals.
Ghost Hunt. Ghost Hunt. Texas style.
Bringing you the best in paranormal radio.
All right, folks, welcome back. This is Justin Errett with Ghost Hunting Texas Style. So, again, we just wanted to extend our thanks out to Mr. Phil Summers out there for calling in and giving us and dropping some knowledge on a few brothers and sisters out here on the, you know, on the show. So it's good stuff. Always good talking to him, and always a pleasure as well. Here we're going to have, in the next few minutes, we're going to have Mr. Kevin Weddle, founder of Unknown Paranormal. He's going to call in. He also runs the Unknown Paranormal, or Unknown Radio Network and everything. So once again, we just want to extend our thanks for having this opportunity to allow us, you know, to be on a show and go from there. But real quick, before we continue, we're going to play a real quick disclaimer. Stand by.
You're listening to the Unknown Radio Network at www.blogtalkradio.com/unknownpg. You are in.
All right, yo. Welcome back. This is Ghost Hunt Texas Style. Justin Errett is your host. As you can hear me, I am talking, and it's all good. So, again, just like I mentioned, you know, Mr. Kevin Weddle is going to come in. You did just hear the song, My Curse, by Killswitch Engage, and just want to throw that out there. But then, for those folks that are actually in the chat room, thank you for so much for tuning in. For those folks that are tuning in elsewhere, thanks for tuning in as well. It's gonna be a cool show. But like I said, it's a little bit random. We really didn't have anybody set as a guest for the show tonight, but we just wanted to come on here because, you know, we know you guys like coming in and listening to us and hearing us out and all that good stuff. So we really appreciate that. And just for that, I just want to crack some coldies for you guys. So stand by. I have got some coldies for you. Here you go, Phil and Tom. Let's see here, guest that's in the chat room, wherever you are. Let's see here. There you go, Jennifer Criddle. Got you a coldie, and I'll get myself one or two. And there's one for Kevin over there doing his little charity thing real quick. And then we got Mr. Kevin Weddle. I'm going to go crack a couple coldies for him right now. There you go. How about that, Kevin?
Hell yeah.
What's up? What's up, man? How you doing?
Doing good, man. Doing good.
You know, in the chat room, they were talking about how, you know, like Phil Summers goes, the paranormal is my curse. And then Tiffany goes, everyone is haunted and haunts themselves. And Phil Summers, my bathroom is haunted. And then Anton goes, wish I had a haunted room. My work would be easier. So I threw in there, my toilet is haunted. I hear growling when I sit on it.
Oh, yeah, man. We can actually pick up growls going down the road with my crew. We have a lot of irritable bowel syndrome in our group, I believe.
Oh man, you sure it's not lactose sensitivity?
I mean, it could be that too, or Taco Bell sensitivity. I don't know, but yeah, it gets pretty bad. In fact, last Friday we took out two possible new members to the group. And they got inducted pretty quick from Mike, myself, and even some of the girls on the team.
Oh, so you actually sent them through the gas chamber?
Yeah, because if you're going to join our team, you got to tolerate our gas.
That's awesome, man! Hell yeah!
Yeah, man. That's what I'm talking about. You know, and yeah, getting ready for the big radio show a week from tomorrow, where all of us are going to bring the chaos to the network.
Yes, and the cool thing about it is you know, if you want to go ahead and explain to it, we will all be on. Every single person from Unknown's network will be just jam packed. rocking and rolling, man.
Yeah, for everybody out there, we have five shows right now, or four shows. No, you have five shows, and we're about to have six. Second week in January, Jennifer Alb's going to start Dark Side of the Paranormal on Fridays. So they'll be joining our network. But, yeah, man, we're going to have my show, Jeff and Martin and myself. And then we're going to have Into the Darkness, which is Brittany and Jennifer. And then Terrify, which I help host with Jody Parks. And then we got Matt and Sarah on Full Spectrum Radio. And then you and Kevin Bryan. So we're going to have 10 folks on the air at the same time. And what we're doing is December 21st is supposedly the end of the world. Well, we're going to show everybody we're still here. Now, if there is some chaotic things going on during the day, we're going to talk about it on the show.
That's awesome. And you know what? What's going to be cool, though, and I think, you know, as I was mentioning in the show earlier, Phil Summers, you know, he had posted on his Facebook earlier, it's something that was pretty funny. And, I think Phil may have a nonchalant psychic ability of being able to predict the future because, you know, this is funny. Check this out. He goes, You know how there's shows like Gangland and all these different types of gang shows? And then he goes, how the paranormal field has events and conventions for these paranormal investigators who've been on TV? And then he goes, I wonder if gangs have gang-like conventions for famous gangs who've been on TV. So they have these gang conventions, right? So it's like you have the end of the world and all this other stuff, and then you got the gang folks coming in and you have paranormal gangs and I mean, I don't know. It's just hilarious. You got the apocalypse coming. It's craziness, man.
Oh yeah, and if anybody out there wants to tune in next Friday from it's going to say here 8 p.m. Central, 9 p.m. Eastern for 2 hours, we're going to be on there. It's going to be crazy. Clothes is optional. Jody says she's going to be nude, and. So, yeah, and I think Justin even said he'd do the helicopter.
Yes. Yes, that is possibly true.
So, and I'm working on some different things. I'm going to throw at all the folks that's going to come on the show, throw out a few things for them to do. I know I'm working on a couple skits of well, not really skits. They're actually going to be callers, a possible doomsday prepper. But, we're going to have some funny stuff going on the show.
Nice, nice. Somebody just asked, is this a video broadcast? Unfortunately not.
That's why clothing is optional. You just have to use your imagination and visualize what we're actually in or not in.
Right.
But
man, oh man.
And I got some other news brewing. That hospital that I've been trying to gain ownership of, I actually, and this is what you got to keep in mind, this is a small town in East Texas. I got a phone call from the city manager a couple days ago, and he talked to the mayor and a couple other city officials, and they are all about us taking over this hospital and turning it into a paranormal research facility. So
I got the
backing of the town. So the city manager wants me to come in and sit down with him and the mayor and go over some more details about gaining this hospital, which is great news for the paranormal community because this is something that all the paranormal teams will be able to come to and investigate and gather a lot of good evidence because it's very active. We had a lot of stuff happening. We had objects moving. We had Mardi Gras beads actually thrown at some of the paranormal investigators. And no, they didn't show their boots, get them, but they did have beads thrown at them. And it's going to be a great thing for the community. And like I was telling the the city officials. You know, there's not something like this, even in the state of Texas. You know, everybody in Dallas-Fort Worth area, you know, a two or three hour drive, and they'll be able to get in a 2,000 square foot hospital and investigate.
Nice. That's awesome.
So,
and how big is the place, did you say again?
It's about 50,000 square foot. It's two stories. It's got everything from the emergency room. It's got three operating rooms, delivery room, the whole nine yards. And
how old is this place? When was it last operated?
About 4 years ago. So,
oh wow.
The building itself is in great condition. It's not run down. It's got central heating, hair, and the whole nine yards. So, and it's concrete. So if you're on the second floor, you can't contaminate people on the first floor unless you're by the stairwell. But it's a great facility, and it's huge. And we had four teams all going at the same time in the hospital, and we never hurt each other.
That's pretty good, man. No, you know, no crazy echoing acoustics or anything like that, huh?
No. And, you know, and the beauty of it is, Unknown Paranormal will be facilitating in running this facility for the team. So us being a paranormal group ourselves, we're going to make sure that these teams have everything they need to do their investigation, you know, because we know what you need, so... Yeah, Martin, I've been kidding around with Martin Bravo. He's like, dude, if you get this hospital, I'm packing my shit. And I'm coming to East Texas. I said, hell yeah, dude, you go in the hospital.
That's awesome, man. That is freaking, that's cool, dude. Man.
Hell yeah.
Well, good. Man, so you're going to have a meeting soon? Like, I mean, where's the you know, where's it at in the process of all this? I mean, how far along the process is this done?
Right now, it's the process. If I got the backing of the city and the mayor, then I guarantee you that they're going to make it happen. The city owns the property. They actually pretty much wanted to give it away to one of the volunteer fire department members, you know, just because they wanted to get it off their hands, and because they built a new hospital. So this is just sitting there and not being used. And just like the city manager said, they were highly interested in giving it to you. So, you know, it might be one of those things where as long as we keep the building up and pay the property taxes once a year and pay the utilities and stuff, then it's ours, which that would be completely awesome. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, definitely, man. I mean, not only that, but, I mean, it's you know, you not only that, but you have a pretty good surefire place to investigate. Not only that, but... For example, say you have, you know, it could, I mean, dude, that would be great, man, if say, for example, that became available, you know, to utilize before the East Texas Ghost Con 2013 comes around.
Yeah. It'd be one of those things that eventually I would probably start putting on events at the hospital. And, so, yeah, there's a lot of opportunity there. I look at it as a opportunity for us as our group having a facility to train in, to set up experiments and leave the building and see what these experiments can catch. You know, there's a lot of research that we'll be able to do having access to our own haunted location and not having to go through all the strings that us as paranormal investigators have to do to get in some of these buildings. And not that, for all of our friends and everybody we know in the paranormal, they'll have the same opportunity as well to use it. And plus, you know how it is with money, man. if we have some sort of income coming into the team where we can get update our equipment and those kind of things, and none of us have to dig in our own pockets, that's even a plus to the whole scenario.
Well, absolutely, man. I mean, you know, I mean, just imagine being able to have, how do you say it? I mean, completely soundproof,
yeah,
a specific area of the hospital.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? And then maybe having an EVP session in there in a soundproof room where there's no echoes, no acoustics, or anything like that. And just to see how vivid and how clear, of a response that you can get, if any, you know? I've always wondered that.
Oh, yeah, that's what I'm saying. The experiments are endless when it comes to getting a facility. I mean, just imagine, I was talking about it to one of my team members the other day. I could just be sitting here at the house and go, you know, I'm kind of bored. I'm going to drive over to the hospital and do some investigating. You know? that's the beauty of it. And
that's just be able to have the freedom to just off and say, you know what? I'm bored. Let's go. You know, that is freaking awesome, man. And not only that, but just spur of the moment. Hey, let's see, there's nothing going on this weekend. Let's get the guys and girls together. Let's go investigate for a day or two, you know?
Yeah.
But at the same time, but you know, you have the hospital and my good friend, Tim Jones, over in the UK, he's one of those guys that, you know, when he investigates these places, I mean, he'll investigate one place, and he would spend almost, you know, anywhere between 3 to 6 months, almost a year, researching one place to get consistent, you know, consistency in response and stuff like that. But at the same time, you know, even to see if there are similar experiences back to back to back to back. You know, to be able to pick up on certain personalities, be able to pick up on certain things. I think that right there would be great, man.
Yeah, and, you know, like I talked about when we investigated there, dude, I had a 30-minute conversation with a supposed doctor. Now, this is the information I got from this lady all through, and it wasn't even a K2 meter. My dad had a K2 meter, and he was standing next to one of the new potential members, but he had one of them, it's called a ghost meter. It's basically an EMF meter with a little dial on it, right? And if it gets up to 3 to 4 milligals, it'll the tip of it's red, and it'll light up and make a noise. You know, I got one of those, and I hardly ever use it, right? Because, you know, those are just cheap pieces of equipment you can get online. Anybody can get those, right? And it just seems like everything, the cheaper the piece of equipment is, the better you get evidence on. Because this guy was holding this, and he's standing next to Dad, who has a K2 meter. Now, I know K2s are calibrated a little bit different, so they pick up a little bit different milligals. But my dad wasn't getting any response, and I was getting direct yes. On all the, you know, yes, they'd light it up. No, they wouldn't light it up. This went on for 30 minutes, direct responses.
Wow.
And, it was crazy, dude. I had a camera that it's got so big of a battery on it, it'll run on that one battery for like 12 hours. So it's never run out on me on investigation. It's never drained. That thing, right before the K2 set, the EMS session happened, that battery drained completely where I couldn't video it.
Man.
And I even asked the spirit, I said, did you drain my battery so I couldn't video this? And I got a yes on the EMF meter. You know,
man.
They don't video, they take care of that problem.
Right.
But, so I'm really excited. That might be, the news of 2013 that we get this facility, and then we'll get it up and running, and then everybody will be able to come and do their thing there. You know, I'm going to try to do like I did at, like old South Pittsburgh Hospital in Tennessee has, and eventually set up some of the hospital rooms, put some beds in there and whatnot, because they have bathrooms already, and get them functional just like old South did, and they're basically hotel rooms, you know, because when we went there, we spent the night in the hospital. We had beds, we had AC, we had showers, so we slept in the hospital. And, dude, there was stuff
nice.
Going on while sleeping in our rooms.
A room full of trigger objects, man. I mean, the entire room is a trigger object, the way you set it up. Absolutely, man. That's good stuff there.
Oh, yeah, man. So that's some of the news, you know. And, of course, I'm working on East Texas Ghost Con. I already got some speakers lined up. And I'm contemplating, you know, we had a great turnout on teams. And I've had a great response. Every team that was there so far, they're all responding. They want to be back. So that's always a good sign. And I'm even thinking, man, of expanding our classes to have each one of the paranormal teams do a class in one of the classrooms and encourage the other teams, at least a member from each of the teams, to go and, you know, sit in all these classes and kind of learn from one another.
Absolutely, man.
I know y'all's class was packed. Y'all had a lot of folks in there.
We were pretty surprised, man. It's like, you know, we went up there and we spoke and stuff. I mean, and the thing is, when me and Kevin went there talking, I mean, we got a lot of good feedback. You know,
yeah.
Just, you know, questions. You know, a lot of people were, interactive and, you know, asking certain questions, and which was really good because we really enjoyed that. You know, we really... You know, really like when the people actually come and they start, you know, shaking their heads and they start, okay, you could see when the gears start turning. And then, but at the same time, you know, you also want to kind of leave it hanging out there, especially if you know you got a class. You know, you want to kind of leave certain things kind of hanging out there. And that way when they're kind of curious about it and be like, so, you know, that's why we're kind of towards the end, we were like, you know, Come check out our class. We'll be able to finish this discussion here. And if you want more details, come attend our class. And next thing we know, we were getting ready, and it's like, holy crap! There's like literally standing room only in that place.
Yeah,
it just blew me away.
Oh yeah, man. So it's going to be good. I'm definitely going to go check out Hotel Marshall. That's one of the places I'm going to. Take my team as a full-blown investigation because we didn't really get to investigate during the conference. I know I did with y'all when y'all were in there, but we want to see, you know, what's going on with this female spirit that y'all kept coming in contact with.
Oh, man, dude, that right there literally just completely blew me away, man. I mean, just...
Yeah.
Just the how everything just correlated with the history,
mm-hmm.
And you know the thing is it's knowing the history in depth after the fact, after we have our evidence.
Yeah, and what's even crazier is, you know, prior to that, I already had walked the building with Mike, and he did a psychic reading of the building. So when I was with y'all until a certain point, I didn't say anything to y'all about what Mike had picked up. And then y'all were getting responses and different things happened that correlated with what he read. And he had zero information on the history.
Wow. Isn't it crazy and how awesome it just kind of comes full circle like that? You know, it just validates.
Yeah.
You know, not to say that, this is surefire holy grail of paranormal evidence, but it validates it to yourself and for yourself and for those around you that experience the same thing.
And that's what it's all about. You know, I was listening to you and Phil talk earlier, and one of the people in the chat room asked, you know, well, how do you base your expertise and all this stuff? You know, a lot of times, you know, it's not necessarily that we're trying to get the holy grail of paranormal evidence. It's just we want to be able to validate our experiences and the things that we catch on EVP. If we can validate it, I don't really care if the whole United States knows it. As long as my team knows, we're satisfied. You know, that makes us feel good.
Yep. And the thing is, it's just like, and I know I brought up Phil earlier today, and I'll bring him up again. It's just like with Phil, you know, he sort of, you know, investigates sort of on his own type thing. But the thing is, he does it for himself. He doesn't do it, you know, for fame, fortune, or anything like that, but he does it because of his, you know, the one thing that kind of got him into it to begin with, and that was his curiosity of it all, you know. But for him to be able to get, you know, certain things, you know, and even for myself and a lot of others, I'm sure can agree that we get into something like that and we get something that validates what we're doing, it just makes us that more hungry to continue on doing what we do.
Yeah, and like Phil was talking about the human element, I completely agree with him on that, and we're having a meeting with Sunday, and that's what we're going to talk about, because at Para Unity, Becca wanted us to do some sort of class. Well, what we're going to bring to the table is we're going to bring new, never-before-done experiments that we're going to do prior to Para Unity, and we're going to, and hopefully we'll have some results, and we're going to share it with everybody, and hopefully other people will walk out of there and take those experiments to their teams, and they try them out as well, and so that we can kind of correlate what we got with what everybody else gets and see if it's a valid experiment or not. And so we're going to do a lot of experiments where we take the human element out and test different things that claims, like, for instance, limestone. You know how everybody talks about limestone holds energy, and if
right,
the building
right.
is limestone, it's more active. Well, we're going to put it to the test and set up some controlled experiments, and, you know, just like EVP sessions, we're going to do something where we take posters, poster board, and we're going to write different questions, and then we're going to mix them up. And then you're just going to grab one, and you're not going to be able to look at the front of it where the question is, and you're just going to walk around with this poster board, not saying a word, running your EVP recorder, and we're going to see if the spirit can read that card and give us an answer on EVP.
Nice.
Because then you take the human element out. Because think about it. If you ask a question, you already know the answer. You want to know if the spirit knows the answer, right?
Right, right.
So, you know, and sometimes you're not. It's a 50-50 shot. You say, are you a male or are you a female? Those type of things. Well, if you're not, if your brain, your consciousness doesn't know what the question is to begin with, you have no idea of how to calculate the answer. So we're taking the human element, we're taking that brain out of the equation and seeing if it's pure result from a spirit.
Nice.
How about them apples, Mr. Justin?
I don't know about apples, but I can tell you, those are some good bananas. That's good shit, but hey, you know what?
It's chaos, baby.
You hear that noise in the background?
I think it's coming.
I hear something in the background. Guess what, folks? It is chaos! Yes. Welcome to the FWP, Ghost on Texas Style Chaos. We have Kevin Weddle here. This is our second hour. We're in the last half hour of the show. Now, we've been talking about some good stuff, random stuff, craziness. We've had a call from Mr. Phil Summers. Got Mr. Kevin Weddle here from Unknown Paranormal. Also runs Unknown Radio Network, which, by the way, thank you so much, Mr. Kind Sir, for allowing us to be able to run the show on your network.
Y'all do great things. I love y'all's show.
Now, we were talking. I had a conversation earlier that I was talking about. Now we can actually take in some callers to kind of give, you know, their thoughts on what they think about certain people that come into the field for the very, very, very first time, claim to be legit just because they used an application on their cell phone.
Oh God!
And a flashlight, and said that they're now a paranormal investigator or a ghost hunter. What are your thoughts, Mr. Weddle?
You know, I'm from the MySpace days as well as a paranormal investigator, and I remember when the app for Ghost Radar came out, and it showed little dots, and you're like, ooh, there's a spirit right there. We tried that on a couple investigations, and they don't work very well. They're not accurate, they, you know. So we talked that out a long time ago. So for somebody to just use a phone app, that's not studying the science. If you really read up on your science of these things, you'll find out. And like Phil said, if you're a true investigator, you're going to figure out real quick that you're going about it the wrong way. So don't call yourself
right,
with shit.
Now, don't get me wrong, folks. When that stuff first came out as an application, don't get me wrong, I tried it. I tested this theory. I took it to its limits, but I was very disappointed. But you know what? Hey, it's a phone, okay?
It's for fun.
And I understand, people are like, oh, well, you know, it's sensitive, and it's got magnets in it. It's got, you know, it could take in frequencies. I can understand that. But how can you, it's an app. I mean, it's like a game. I mean, that's
mm-hmm.
like starting up my Nintendo, you know, Wii, and then saying that, oh, crap, you know, this is something and it's, I don't know, it's a game. I mean, come on.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, that's the other thing. They have an app where they say you can place your thumb on it, and you can it could tell if you're saying a lie or not. Really?
Oh, why did that test? Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
Called stupid. I'm just saying. Straight up.
You know, that's just like yesterday, one of my team members sent me a couple photographs that a friend sent him that were taken by a phone, taking a picture by a phone, right? The pictures were like a picture taken in a bedroom of their home, and there's a full-body apparition. You can see everything from hair to the style of the shirt to everything on the wall, and it's see-through. Right? And then there's another pic where apparently they're sitting on the couch in the living room, and they take a picture and their phone is in the way of the shot, and there's a full-body apparition there. And you can see even the eye color and all that on the apparition. And I'm like, really? Come on, that's fake. That is
wow.
So fake. You know, because like I told them, I said, you need to ask them why in the hell they just decided to take a photograph of their bedroom. You know, what's the premise behind that? And then all of a sudden there's a ghost in it? There's too many apps and stuff out there in Photoshop now.
You know, and that's the other thing. I mean, it's manipulation has gone rampant in this field, man. It has. Manipulation and deception has gone rampant in this field and has completely distorted a lot of people's views. And it's like, I even know some folks that they, you know, that used to be in this field, and when they hear the term paranormal, they cringe.
Mm-hmm.
They completely cringe, and they're just like, you know what? I don't even want to hear any of that crap anymore. You know, it's gotten people to the point to where they become so passionate, and then they go through this D word, if you know what I mean.
Mm-hmm.
Because of others, people's lack of common sense and shenanigans, and they completely have to walk out the door because it's ridiculous.
Yeah, you know, I don't even fire up Facebook like I used to, because I get tired of reading all the news feeds from all my paranormal friends and folks out there. They're either getting harassed or some sort of drama. I'll go ahead and say the D word. Bullshit drama happens. And I'm just like, come on, guys. There's too much negativity. Turn it into a positive. Let's talk about stuff in the field. Who gives a shit about these dumbasses? Like I said on my show and Jody's show, these folks that do all this drama stuff, they were folks that were bullied in high school, and now they can sit behind a computer and talk shit. So, yeah, get off of Facebook, folks. Get out there and do some research. You're spending too much
time harassing,
and you could be doing stuff for the... Yeah.
I just opened up Facebook, okay, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to scroll down, and I bet you anything, it never fails, Kevin, dude. Never fails. I can open up Facebook, go to the news feed for the most recent news feed. So I'm going to go here, and I'm going to filter, okay, most recent. And I'm going to find something. Oh, look, I just found something. Stop bullying now. Stand up, speak out. Okay, I can understand that.
Yeah.
Okay, let me scroll down a little bit more. There goes a woman that looks like Brandon Kreitzer. Okay, let's see here. What do you mean Santa's got enough reindeer? No, that's stupid. Okay, I'm literally going through, and the thing is that there's some things. It just blows your mind that these people just ranting about just drama in the field, and that's what's sad.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And then there's one that says, I love when people tell you to postpone something, and the next day they ask you why you didn't do it. Fuck me, right?
See what I'm talking about? It's every day. Every day.
Let's see here. I'm going to see what else I can find here. Oh, my God. After 2 years, this food is not molded or spoiled. How is that possible? What in the end, it says, what in the world is in it?
Must be a fruitcake.
It's a two-year-old fast food display.
Oh.
That's interesting, but crazy and scary at the same time. Okay, now somebody also posted on here, how Mexican is your band? I got a guitar player that throws his used toilet paper down next to the commode at my house, not even at the job site. Now that's Mexican.
Golly.
It's just, but no, what's crazy, I mean, there's always something
mm-hmm.
that involving this field that's just, either it's a rant, and just like Phil said, it could be somebody that's maybe new to the field, you know, he's got this list that he's been compiling, it's sort of calculating certain things to where in this list, if you fall in these categories or something like that, something to that effect, or there's certain aspects or traits that somebody just now coming to the field portrays, and it's one of those things to where it's obvious when you see them. It's crazy. Not to say that they don't, that I'm more experienced or we're more experienced or whatever it gets to be, but you just tell some of the folks that are just new to the field, you know?
I know exactly what you're talking about, because when I took those two members, possible new members out Friday, one of them, he's 19 years old. He's never been an investigator, nothing, right? He's completely new to the field. And we were doing a ghost box session, and there was a, we could feel the energy of something being around us, you know, a presence. And it started talking to the ghost box, and it called out his name twice. And he was like, whoa. And then he does the, he does what he learned from television shows, because he told me later that he watches all the shows. He said to the, if you're really here, come stand next to me. When we did that, about a second after he said that, his whole demeanor changed, and he started holding his head. I said, what's wrong, dude? He said, my head hurts and my stomach hurts. I feel like I'm going to throw up. And I told him later, I, dude, don't, anything you learn from the shows on TV, throw them out the door. Never until you learn how to protect yourself, learn how your different energies feel, don't invite a spirit into your space. So you learned the hard way.
Man. Oh, real quick, Kevin, you know what's funny? Speaking of which, you have the one thing that gets on my nerves, man, is that you get these people that will caption, they'll write something in a caption, whether there's a picture in the background or whether it's just like blue color, gray color, black color, whatever, and they just have some words in there. And
oh, yeah.
It would be like a random quote involving something about, you know, I wouldn't put you, like, for example, make something, I wouldn't put you down if my life depended on it, so you just need to step up. And then what they will randomly do is just add, say, Ronald Reagan's name at the bottom of it, making it look like Ronald Reagan quoted it. I'm serious. I'm seeing that a lot. A lot.
Yeah.
Dude. For example, I mean, like, there was something where somebody posted something and they said Billy Graham quoted it. Really? I mean, talking about, you know, that, I don't know, Satan's my brother or something. Like, I don't know. Really, how in the hell is Billy Graham going to say something like that? You know? I don't know.
Oh, yeah.
It's crazy, dude. They're putting words in these people's mouths.
Oh, man. And you think about all the stuff that we see, and, you know, these are human beings, right? So how is the human race, because you know there's a lot of people out there that are just off their rocker, right? How are they going to, next Thursday, for example, you go to Walmart, are there going to be people running in there and buying up all the water and different supplies, going, oh, my God, the world's going to end tomorrow, I need to be prepared? Is that going to happen next Thursday?
Dude.
Yeah.
Dude, I got an idea. We have to do this. We got to get Kevin. We got to get Unknown. We got to get FWP involved, man. It's going to be freaking great. All right,
you know how they have,
it's not really a dedicated website, but you have, I think there's a page somewhere, like if you go to Facebook and
yeah.
you type in people of Walmart, right?
Oh, yeah.
You got people of Walmart, okay? There's also a website called peopleofwalmart.com. What we
yeah.
should do is make paranormal people of Walmart.
Hell yeah.
And see how that goes down.
Hell yeah. That's what I'm
serious,
talking
man.
About.
I mean, just imagine being at, you know, going to, say, I don't know, going to the headquarters, right? And you have a ghost hunter or a paranormal investigator, you know, going in there shopping for something at the headquarters in Bentonville, Arkansas, you know, and they got their butt crack hanging out and a ghosty shirt on and a recorder strapped to their fanny pack, you know, something like that, you know?
Hell yeah. That's what I'm talking about.
I think that'd be kind of funny, man. Paranormal people at Walmart.
Yeah.
And
we
should kick it off by buying some Bubba tea and a wig and some nerd glasses. And maybe get like a pillow for a beer gut. You know, going out there and letting your crack hang out a little bit, and he's like, "Hey, I'm buying a recorder right here." I'm gonna go ghost hunting. Oh shit, man! My bass boat has a ghost in it.
Or you could do this if you really want to freak some folks out. Wear your paranormal shirt in there, and you know, as you're shopping, you talk to somebody that's not there. You just have a conversation while you're going down the aisle. Oh yeah, you like that? You know, that's some good food right there. Let's grab that right there. Oh really?
And then and what's funny is then you can pull an Ed Bassmaster prank and say, "Oh, you talking to me? Oh, I was just talking about Bluetooth." When somebody comes up, yeah. Oh, I was just talking about Bluetooth. I'm sorry. So,
I would actually look at them and say, they look at me and say, "What? I'm talking to a spirit. You want to talk to them?"
Oh man, I could do that. And you know what? I think there's a Mick Flaubert sighting out there too.
Oh no, really? I haven't seen old Mick in a while since PKC.
Yeah, I think Mick Flaubert might be making an appearance soon at some point. I can't remember. This is the thing though. He wants to introduce his Teenage Mutant Ninja Lizards, karate lizards. So I kind of figured, you know, that'd be kind of cool, you know, the Teenage Mutant Karate Lizards. You know, Mick Flaubert wants to check it out.
Hell yeah. Oh, and I heard you were talking about the Van Twillquist doll that you want to get for Scott. Scott's going to be on Terrify Radio next Tuesday.
Nice. That's going to be cool. And see, what's so freaking cool, though, is that, you know, it was probably about, oh, man, it was like 2-3 years ago. I told Scott that at some point I'm going to get it done. And I've got it to the point to where I have to get it done. And I got to find a ventriloquist puppet that looks similar to Scott. That way I can actually make it look like Scott. Even if I needed to add some hair for the mustache, you know, some thick eyebrows, you know, stuff like that. Maybe a dimple in the chin or whatever, you know, type thing. But I could see Scott sitting there talking, and the next thing you know, this little head, puppet head, pops up behind the desk slowly and just starts looking to the left slowly, looking to the right slowly, and then looks at the camera, and then pops all the way back up and then sits in Scott's lap. And
damn,
then he starts talking shit with him. So I think that'd be freaking badass. I told Scott about it. He was like, "Hell yeah, that'd be badass." So
what does Bill Dance think about that?
Well, I tried talking to Bill earlier today, and I think he's a little ticked off because Kevin didn't show up, because he'd rather Kevin be on the show than the charity dinner. But I told Bill, I was like, "You know what? The charity dinner's for a good cause." But you know what he decided he wanted to tell me?
What's that?
Dead gummit.
That. And then I tried to explain to him how important it was that this money goes to folks that are less fortunate. And then when I found out that, hey, it could be just a small, not even half of 1% of your taxpayers' money going towards this less fortunate. You know how he took that?
Dead gummit.
So finally, I had to throw it out there, and I said, "Okay, less fortunate. Okay, that means you got kids that are able to get fishing poles, that are able to, you know, to go fishing." His mood at that point in time decided to lighten up a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he started to get the picture. And so I think he's really starting to get the picture. And so when he, you could see that light bulb come on. And when it did.
Ain't this a fine howdy-do?
That's exactly what he had to say. And so he was pissed off, but then he, the light went off in his head. So he understood that Kevin was actually going out to do a good thing. But then, I'm telling you, man, he fell down. And he tripped. He fell down. I could hear it plain as day. I mean, the dude's always, you know, riddled with, I don't know, freaking he's accident prone. So he stumped his toe on his flip flop, and
what? Dead gummit.
So, just saying, but man, Bill, yeah, that's what he's been up to lately, man. It's just crazy.
Yep. I get like Bill Dance a lot of times when I'm watching the Cowboys, because you know it's like a roller coaster ride watching them folks play. One minute you're on a high, and then invariably they piss you off the next moment.
Hey, they're above 500, so
yeah, they're there, man. They're there, you know. But like I said, it's just one of those seasons. You just don't know what's gonna happen with them. I wish them the best because I'm a huge fan, but damn it, I like one game where I could just sit there and not be on my toes going, oh, God, here, what are they going to do now?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I remember, it kind of reminds me, I think, the year 2007 is when they had their record was, I think, 11-5. And they went to the playoffs and lost in the first round to the Giants. And that was the year, I think, the Giants ended up winning the Super Bowl the first time against the Patriots, I think.
Yeah.
Now what's crazy, though, is that I just lost train of thought. Oh, what's crazy is that they were actually considered the Cardiac Cowboys then. And hell, if I'd be damned if they ain't the Cardiac Cowboys this year, because I'm telling you, every single game, they would suck in the first damn quarter, in the second damn quarter, the first half of the freaking game.
Yeah.
And then you get to the second half of the game, and they decide they want to be heroes and then freaking win by the skin of their freaking britches.
Yeah, just like they did last week.
Yep. So, dude, I'm telling you, that offensive line is horrible, man. Horrible.
Yes.
And I know there's a lot of Tony Romo haters and stuff like that. I don't. Whatever the case may be, they could hate if they want. But I'm telling you, if Tony Romo had a solid offensive line, and he didn't have to go outside of his pocket, I'm telling you, that guy will do some damage. But you know what?
Yeah,
you also got to think too that we had no running game for the majority of the season at all. So this is all on his shoulders. So you know what?
Yep.
I could care less if he threw a whole bunch of interceptions this year because, guess what? The things that he's done so far to try to carry this team, I consider it paranormal.
Yeah, exactly. Hell yeah. Oh, man.
Now, if they can pull one out against the Steelers this weekend, that's going to be some paranormal shit right there. And that shit, they'll be 8-0.
Well, man, it could happen, dude, because the Steelers are not playing good ball right now.
No, they ain't. And Ben Roethlisberger ain't 100% either. Or, I'm sorry, Roethlisberger.
Roethlisberger. Hell yeah.
Or Roofless Burglar. Sorry. Man,
a raping
fool. So, well, we got about 4 minutes left in the show. Folks, we just want to say thanks, man. Kevin, I appreciate you calling in, brother. It's always a pleasure talking to you, man. You know, we'll definitely be in touch again soon and get ready to get wild this next Friday. and stuff. So we're gonna jam out the show. I think if I'm not mistaken, you know, our regular shows are gonna go as scheduled, and then we're all gonna come together again on Friday, correct?
Oh yeah, everything's
okay.
The same. Then Friday's just an added bonus for folks on the Apocalypse Eve. And tune in Sunday. We're going to have a conspiracy theorist. He's the editor of DC Comics, and he writes.
That's
a
if
bunch
we're
of
not dead by then, right? If we're all, if we're not all obliterated by then, right?
No, this is this Sunday, so it's before the apocalypse.
Oh, okay. Well, cool, man. As long as it doesn't come during a major good Cowboys game, we're good. And for those folks that are listening, oh, Cowboys, well, guess what? You forget. This is Ghost Hunting Texas style. So, folks, I'm just letting you know. I mean, just saying. So, anyways, I just want to say thank you so much, Kevin, for tuning in, brother.
All right, man. Well, you have a great night. Thanks for letting me come on. And I'll holler at you later.
All right, have a good one, man. And, you know, give everybody my love, man. Tell everybody I miss them, that they're awesome. And we'll go from there. We'll have to investigate again soon.
Oh, yeah. We're going to throw it down in 2013. We'll be here, and we're going to go investigating Texas style.
Hell, yeah, man. Well, all right, folks. This will wrap it up. We're going to go ahead and play a song to close this show out. We want to say thank you so much for tuning in to Ghost Hunting Texas Style. It has been a pleasure. Thanks for everybody that's been listening in today. You know, it was sort of a random show, but you know what? Sometimes random's a good thing. You know, we're going to have some good guests coming up. We're working on a good lineup. But one thing I do want to throw out there before I play the song is that there's a good chance, a possibly good chance, that we may have YouTube's famous Ed Bassmaster on one of our shows soon. So tune in, because you just got to look at it. Check it out on YouTube, Ed Bassmaster. He's a funny guy. So anyways, we're going to go ahead and close this out. Have a good one, and don't forget, be safe, have a good one, and freaking rock on, because you matter. Later.